At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. Illini guy Mike Kegley and Brad Sturdy here with Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting. Brad Sturdy flew all the way to New York City, is there live at Madison Square Garden, and boy, his arms are tired. Brad, that was a victory where I got to be honest with you. I came darn close to writing this team off. What was it like at the Garden?
You must have been the Illini guys' game room, because they were ready to write it off early in the second half. So, no, here's the thing. It was a great atmosphere. I thought Illinois, you know, just persevered, you know, I mean, more than anything. But the one thing you have to remember is they did an excellent job defensively, especially in that late second half when they made that surge.
Yes.
And they, you know, you look at this game, what makes this so special? They had 12 blocked shots. So when you can block 12 shots, that's extremely impressive. And that shows how they've changed defensively. I was just talking to Chester Frazier after the game, and it's interesting. We were talking, I said, you know, defensively, I know you guys switch, but this team is so much different. He said, we're able to disrupt teams defensively. We couldn't do that last year. We're longer than we were last year. Last year, it was basic. You had Jake, DeMonte, Trent, and Alfonso Plummer. Who's blocking a shot in that group? You know what I mean? So, and you know, Kofi wasn't even a great shot blocker despite his size. So this team is so much different. They're able to protect the rim. They're able to do things more. So you can gamble a little bit, take some more chances, get some more pressure, because you have that back line. And I thought that was impressive. The other thing, you know, Terrence Shannon goes from, you know, the goat to the hero in the overtime. You know, he just had one of those nights. He couldn't get anything going, but he got that extra overtime and he took advantage and, you know, does a fantastic job of bouncing back and, you know, being effective in overtime. Got that mid-range. I talked to him after the game and he had that mid-range shot going, and that really kind of got him going, you know, to get started. Jaden Epps, big shots. Matthew Meyer. This is the Matthew Meyer game though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the, that's my new thing. When Meyer makes a three, it's going to be Meyer's on fire, but I'm going to spell it differently, you know? So, but it was fun. I just really great atmosphere. Illini Nation really showed out. They have the most crowds. Duke and Illinois will have the two biggest crowds here, Illinois and then Duke, and then probably Texas and then Iowa. So very impressive, great event. Really, really happy with the way Illinois played. And this was their chance. They got over the hump, right? And so they had opportunities to win at Maryland. They had opportunities to beat Virginia, didn't get it done. Now they did. They got it done against obviously number two team in the country in Texas, who's very good. They have a few deficiencies, but they're really good.
Kedrick, you got a chance to watch this from live in the Quad Cities. What was your thought as this second half? I mean, at one point, I think there was a 16-2 run, just totally depressing. Where were you at when you were watching that?
Well, Brad, I want to tell you, I know you were at the game, and I tweeted it. His name is not Matthew Meyer, it's Michael Myers, just so you know. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Jay Billis was calling him Michael Myers all night, so it was kind of classic, but I've made mistakes like that tons of times. But anyway, I didn't see the game room, but I understand why fans were frustrated. This team is frustrating. This game Texas is good, but it shouldn't have been that close. Illinois should have won in a halftime with a much bigger lead. The way I look at it is that they had a chance to close the gap, but they have to fix the sloppy turnovers. you know, the silly fouls, just like Dane Danger backing a guy down, shoving a guy down right in front of the official face, and Jaden Epps grabbing a guy and he's cutting. Those things have to be fixed. So I understand why they're frustrated, but it's a big win.
Yeah, and, you know, just to kind of go through a few things here, Brad, you know, you talked about, you know, Matthew Meyer having just an incredible game, Terrence Shannon turning it on. I was also thinking, Sincere Harris had a couple of defensive plays and a couple of blocks that literally turned the momentum around. And one of them, I swear, he was almost at the top of the backboard. What was the effect that he had on the team defense? And what type of lift did you think he provided?
You know, every guy that we talked to after the game, including I talked to three of the coaches, kind of Brett Underwood, but two of the assistants as well, mentioned Harris's energy and what he provided for this team. And the players did too. They get it. Like this kid is he's electric. I mean, he comes on the floor, he makes good things happen with his energy. You know, it's almost like me being in New York. I have more energy. So maybe that was, but he has it all the time. He doesn't have to be in New York. So it was impressive to see him. He's so quick laterally. He's able to cut people off. He's able to get up and block shots because he's so long. He's able to get to the rim and finish. He attacks the offensive glass. I mean, just an impressive, impressive dude. I'm really happy with Sincere Harris, the way he's playing. And the thing is, he's in a limited role, but he's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, that defense was something else. Coleman Hawkins only took 8 shots. His defense was there. He had 7 boards, 3 block shots. To me, a little bit of that time that they struggled a little bit with that run, I thought they almost forgot they had Coleman Hawkins as a weapon, and they kind of went away from him. I wonder, you know, could he have, you know, could he have even had more of an effect if they had kind of looked at him a little bit on offense?
Well, without a doubt. I want to say something about Sincere Harris. To me, he's the best on-ball defender that's on that roster. That kid can guard. I've never seen a guy at Illinois, and I mean, I love Chester, Trent Frazier, but Sincere is a freak, tough, mentally tough kid. I love his game. Coleman Hawkins is slowly growing on a lot of people, you guys, because he does things. I mean, like that bounce pass he threw to Sky Clark tonight. I mean, you could tell he's mature. I mean, it's easy for coaches to talk about, you know, being a leader and growing up. Coleman is really, really growing up. I'll tell you what I like, and I really want to hear what you guys have to say. A lot of people didn't like that timeout. I did, and here's why. The offense was stagnant in that corner. And then Matthew had the ball, and then he got trapped, and he was struggling to get it out. Yeah, the shot went in. It's easy to say after the fact, don't call the timeout. If he doesn't call that timeout at the time when he saw them struggling, it might have been a turnover. Yeah, the shot went in, but I'm bringing this up because his maturity level to me, being engaged a year ago, he wouldn't have done that. I just think what he brings to the table and how he defends and how Jay Billis mentioned during the game that you got a 6'10 guy that can bring the ball off the court. There's no one in the country that has a 6'10 guy that can do that. That's another weapon. You saw tonight, I think, how good they can be. And it was really frustrating. Tonight, they proved to me tonight. It wasn't the UCLA game was fun, but that was because, you know, Terrence Shannon had an out-of-body experience. But tonight, I saw some growth, and you saw a bunch of guys who just knew how to play the game. Jay Nepps, that can't go without saying how well he played. The free throws that he made at crunch time didn't even hit the rim. Illinois is going to be okay, and they're playing for March. I know the Big Ten matters, but this team, like Underwood said, they want to be built for March. And you can tonight, you saw it on the national stage.
Yeah, and Brad, I think, you know, you've been covering the Illini since almost since time started. we've you know, since Red Grange and I were playing football, you've covered the basketball team.
Remember watching you guys playing the game.
You know, have you seen a half where the offense looked so broken for a period of time, and then all of a sudden the ball movement comes back, the open shots start getting, because it's not like the Illini were, you know, I mean, they were taking hard shots because it was turned into kind of one-on-one basketball. What do you think happened? I mean, first off, have you seen that? And then what do you think happened that got them out of that groove and out of that rut and back into a good offense?
Well, I think this is a team that relies on five out and passing and tacking off the bounce. When they get stagnant, it looks like they're literally standing and doing nothing. Yes. I mean, and I think it's because they were standing and doing nothing. That's why it looked like it. No, but here's the thing. When you play that kind of offense, that's what happens. And when you get tired, and I also think you get a little tired. So the guy that they, you know, they're, to be honest, this team's playmaker is Coleman Hawkins, right?
Yes.
And so he played, what, 42 minutes today? Something yes, he crazy did. Like that. He can't keep playing 42 minutes a game, and they know that. And, you know, I don't – could be some – by the way, there could be some really cool things happening. So perhaps he won't have to play 40 minutes moving forward. So we'll see. But anyway, I think that's something that they really need, is to find a way to, you know – to get him some rest so that he can facilitate even when he's tired, because he gets tired, and then the other guys stand and then they watch, and then Shannon starts going one-on-one, Meyer's going one-on-one, although he's making those shots.
Yeah,
it makes everybody watch. And so that's what happened there. And then when Meyer went out, they all were still watching, and so now they aren't scoring. And so it's a big, you know, it's just at the end though, they start getting the ball moving, and man, it was really, really, really impressive to see that.
I'll tell you what, two guys, Coleman played 39 minutes last Friday. And tonight, Jay Billis talked earlier late in the first half. Coleman had his hands on his knees. He's tired. And to be that big, it's going to affect the shot. I mean, I don't know what to do, because he does. He facilitates and he goes as they go. I think the key to second half, a lot of it, you asked about the shots, they only had six turnovers. They didn't turn the ball over. You know, that was a part, that was a huge part of it, because you can't go down the court and have that many empty trips all the time, because it's going to kill you in games. And I know it was a point of emphasis because Coach Underwood talked about that, but I don't know if it's going to take time. And it's not just the young kids. They're all doing it.
Yeah, I agree. And to be honest with you, I didn't agree with all the charging calls, but they were predictable when you just kind of put your head down. And, you know, even if the guy's moving, you're probably not going to get that call going in your favor. Brad, as you look at the analytics and some of the stats, you know, and with your coaching background, was there anything that jumped out at you as you analyzed the game that you thought, that was important, or something that maybe the fans might not recognize at home watching it?
Yeah, so there were a lot of plays that were made. I think that when you look at this, I had people talking about some different things. I'm gonna tell you a guy who really had the game that really in the second half was RJ Melendez. They had to have him on the floor. It seems crazy to think about that, but he played 22 minutes or 19 minutes rather out of the 25 minutes after halftime. And he went 3 of 3 from the floor, 1 of 1 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line. He had rebounds. He did have one turnover, but he had 3 rebounds. He had a block in that big block at the end, the steal. And I thought his defense was really, really solid. He had one overhelp, but other than that, I thought he was really, yeah, really good. So I think there were little things like that. I thought Illinois, what they did was you watch what happened in overtime. When Texas played the Cunningham kid, they had to call timeout a couple times on defense to get him out, because, or to get him in on offense, because they're a different team offensively when he's in there. But because he can space the floor. But on defensively, Illinois did the same thing that teams do to Illinois, is they, when they switch, he ended up on Shannon. That's how Shannon got his first mid-range jumper and his three was off that switch action against Cunningham. And they had to take him out of the game because they realized that's what Illinois was going to go to. We've seen other teams do that to Dane Danger. Today, Texas could not exploit Danger in the ball screens near as well.
Right.
Illinois made an adjustment. They went over the screens. They did a much better job. I tell you what, the other thing is, Sincere Harris guarding that ball is like having Trent Frazier guarding that ball.
But yes, actually, it
might be even better because he's so much longer. And, yes. And so, yeah, that was – so those were the things I noticed. The other thing, I mean, people talk about not moving and cutting, but you saw backdoor cuts that were there. They have to understand when they're there, and they're not quite there yet because this is a read – you know, they run some action to get into it, and Texas takes away most of those entries, just like Maryland did. But the one thing is when you're running these entries and they don't work, like, I mean, and you can't get into it, now it becomes an ISO game or a ball screen game and just play. And they aren't reading quite as well as they will in January and February as they get more and more experience.
Well, I'll tell you what, the part that concerned me, and I want to hear what you guys think. I thought guys were pressing. I thought tonight Terrence Shannon was forcing the issue. I thought he hurt Illinois personally. I really do. And if you are a basketball player and if you want to know a player's coach, Brad Underwood is it. Because, you know, as much as I love Terrence Shannon, he would have got yanked 3 or 4 times because I thought he hurt them. But he stayed with them. Not saying he shouldn't have went back in the game. And if you remember when they made the run, he was on the bench. So I think guys, they need, even though he's a good player, he was never the quote-unquote go-to man, you know, when he was at Texas Tech. And I think he needs to learn that. I think that's important. When the ball was moving, when he wasn't doing that, you know, looking to get his, it was a different game. I just thought if he's making shots, it's great, but he wasn't. And at the same time, I think it's a better offense, you know, when you're not having one guy try to go one-on-one. And, you know, Brad mentioned the lack of ball movement. That's going to come with time. I mean, like, a lot of people don't understand the play that Brad Underwood drew up, and with Dane Danger had the down screen and RJ hit that big three out top. Whatever Underwood says to RJ at half, he should say it at the beginning of the game because he's been a different kid the second half the last two games. But he is really important to this team. Actually, all the guys are. But if they ever get to a point where they're all clicking, I do think they can play with anybody in the country. There's not a team in this country that they can't play with. And truthfully, I'm not saying player-wise, but this probably is Brad Underwood's best team, to be honest with you.
Well, they definitely have a lot more options on the roster. I'm going to throw a couple thoughts out at you, Brad. The first of the two thoughts, Jaden Epps, how many kids do you think grow up dreaming of knocking down 2 free throws in the last 10 seconds of a game at Madison Square Garden? And then as a freshman, you walk up and calmly do it. So that was the first thing. The second thing is I know Ty Rogers, that air ball was horrible. But while he was in there and only 7 minutes, he managed to get 4 rebounds, block a shot. I would just like him to decide, I'm just going to get rebounds. And if I'm close enough to the basket, I'm going to try to dunk it until I get my confidence back.
Do what Sincere Harris does. Sincere affects the game that way. He should do the same thing because he's athletic enough to do it without fouling. He could rebound and block shots and guard guys that are taller, but he can't stay on the court. Yeah, it was a bad shot. I mean, it really and truly was, but he's so much more effective around the basket. I just think he needs to understand his role and learn the game. I think he's playing at a fast pace right now.
Well, what happened on the jumper was I actually told him, I said, shoot like me, not Mike Kegley. And he got confused. He thought you would shoot like Kegley, not like Sturdy.
Yeah, because you don't want to, you know what? I have to sign a liability contract so that the people that I hit on the rebounds that I shoot, I don't have to pay any type of damages.
That's awesome. No, but here's the thing. He's it's tough. I mean, you're a kid who was top 50 recruit. You played for USA basketball. You're hearing all this stuff about how you're at 1-2 and done. You're NBA talk. And now you just can't find your niche on the floor. And it's tough. You're right, kid. It's exactly. I actually just had this conversation literally 15 minutes ago with Coach Alexander and Coach Frazier about Ty Rogers and how he just, you know, because he's really struggling with it and with his, you know, his play. And he knows he can play better. He's pressing, putting a lot of pressure on himself. And so now just be like sincere. Just go in there and be a dog, get after it. And that's what Ty is. And that's why they love him so much. And he's actually a skilled kid. He just sometimes going a little too fast right now. So I think it's a matter of him just, you know, it's going to take some time. He's going to have a game here where he clicks. And it's going to play, he's going to play really well. And we're going to be like, you know, just like Meyer. Now suddenly Matthew Meyer's good. Everybody was like, oh, Matthew Meyer, why did we get him? Well, so he can make six threes or five threes or whatever tonight or whatever it was. So, yeah, 5 out of 5 from three. Yeah, that's a good day. So,
And the other thing I was going to say, for those people who want to see, if you didn't get a chance to watch the game, I forwarded out on my Twitter that Sincere Harris block shot. It's like 9:45 tonight. So, you know how they tell you how many hours ago it was. But just go to at Mike Kegley. So at @MikeKegley. That was unbelievable. And as you watch it, it's just like, holy cow. That athleticism, you were comparing him to Trent Frazier. And my gosh, Trent Frazier was a wonderful defensive player. But Sincere can do things that Trent, I mean, I think you got to go back to Luther Head for a guy who can physically do what Sincere does. But he's got Frazier's attitude from a defensive standpoint.
Go ahead, Brett.
No, go ahead. You're good.
Yeah, he does. And I mean, to me, if you have an outstanding point guard or even an outstanding shooting guard, I really think that Sincere is capable enough to just causing havoc for anybody to guard. I mean, and he's confident enough. His athletic ability, which I mentioned earlier, it's off the chart. And next to Ty Rogers, they are the two best athletes, quote unquote, on the team. And a guy that can come in and guard and to make layups, and he's confident. I mean, and he doesn't get a lot of minutes. I mean, he really doesn't. But when he gets his chance, he takes advantage of them. I just really hope to see him get some more minutes on the court. I don't know where they're going to come from. But he deserves some more minutes on the court. I'm bought. I'm buying his stock because you look out what happened in Las Vegas. He's a game changer.
Yep. And of course, folks, if you know, IlliniGuys.com is what powers I on the Illini. That's basically $99, and I think there's even a couple days left. You can get a free Illini Guys sweatshirt with your annual subscription. You know, Brad and Ked, they've been talking since the start, well, since the summertime, that this team would have some rough moments because of so many young players and so many transfers as Coach Underwood gels them. And, of course, Coach Underwood told me when we talked, you know, back in August, he said, look, I coached junior college basketball. I've had a roster with 10 new guys on it before. I know how to deal with that. And I think we're seeing this team gel more and more right in front of us. So I think that is it is really something that's hard to believe if you're patient, because tonight's game was one that will give you some challenges at time. If you're patient, you can watch this team really develop. And I think confidence down the stretch with a win like this, it's a whole new world for this team. Brad, the team doesn't play again until Saturday, and that will be against Penn State in the State Farm Center. It's an 11 a.m. tip-off. It'll be on the Big Ten Network. What do you expect this team to do now from, you know, I guess Wednesday till Saturday? How will they prepare for the Penn State game?
Well, it's different. I mean, you've got a different opponent. It's just same prep. I think they'll take tomorrow off, and then they'll get ready on Thursday and Friday. Tomorrow's obviously, a day where they can get caught up on all the stuff because they've been traveling a lot. So this is it's a big game. Penn State's a Big Ten game. It's a home game. The next two games really are games you can't give away because you won this game. So it's going to be a refocus. One thing about these guys, they don't rest on their laurels. They aren't that type. They don't have that mentality. They're just like, hey, I just want to play basketball. They felt really good about themselves, but not to the, when you talk to them post game, it's just like, hey, it's awesome we won, but there's an expectation that they should win this game against number two. Like, they didn't go into the game going, wow, we beat number two. They're like, yeah, we beat Texas. Yeah, we should, you know? So that's the right mindset. And I think that also is why they won't have a, you know, kind of a letdown against Penn State or a letdown against Missouri later on.
Well, you know what, Brad, you're right. And I think, you know, Penn State's not the same team that, you know, Illinois fans are used to. Last year, they guarded because they couldn't score. And now this year they can. I mean, I'm going to go back to what I said, you know, in my last statement. I'm really concerned about Coleman. I hope they find a way to get him some minutes because they're going to practice. And, you know, it didn't really – I don't want to say it affected the shot because he didn't, you know, launch a bunch of threes tonight. But there's a guy that I think that's going to have to – they have – when they get a chance to rest him, I think they should. And a guy, what you can do, I think, is if they could get Ty Rodgers to figure it out, then you play Dane, then you're able to – and if Matthew continues to play the way he played, then you can rest Coleman.
Yeah.
To play 35 to 40 minutes a game for the whole season. He's just not going to, because then what's going to happen, he's going to get silly fouls because he's tired.
Yep. And, of course, we also have conversations about Illini basketball and Illini football. There's a lot to go on with the transfer portal, et cetera, that's going on right now. We do that on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our two-hour weekly show. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button. Find the city closest to you, what day it's on, either Friday or Saturday, and what time, and tune us in. We would appreciate it. Thank the radio station for, you know, having us on. Brad, any final thoughts as we wrap up this coverage before we just put in a couple of things on the football before we sign off here?
Yeah, I mean, I said before the game, I said Illinois, you know, this is a tough matchup. I think if they win this game, you got to get excited. They have a string now, home game against Penn State. You've got, you know, whatever it is, I don't know, a critter next the following Saturday, the bragging rights game, another critter, and then back to the Big Ten where they're going to be favored. And I think now I was looking at KenPom. This is a team that's going to be favored in their next, looking at this. Through January, they're favored in every single game, and they aren't even like they're major favorites in almost every one of these games. Like, so you're talking about a team that's 7-2. Then you got 13. I mean, can you imagine if they run off a 14 game win streak here, 13 more, 20-2.
I can imagine that. I can imagine a lot of things, Brad.
I mean, that's legit. I mean, that's legit possibility here. You know, you go through these games, and not saying that none of them are easy,
right,
but they're all games that they can win, and they have the ability to win. If they play well, they will win. And I think that's where they're at up until, you know, even Indiana at home, you know, they're favored. So you go through this and you look at this group, and it would be till they get to at Iowa. And you know, and you're looking at 16 of the next 17. That's why I said, if they win tonight, get excited, because it could be a lot of fun.
Ed, well, your thoughts, Ked?
I'm looking at the big picture. You know, I don't think they're going to take any team lightly. The thing that I'm really excited about, and I don't want to get too excited about, they're missing one of their most valuable pieces in Luke Goody. You know, there's another guy that if he gets healthy enough, and hopefully he's able to bounce back, he'll be another weapon to the team. I'm really curious to see how he fits in with this new style of play. And, you know, he'll definitely get some looks. You know, you got guys on the perimeter that can shoot it like that. I'll tell you what, that's a really tough matchup when you can spread the floor like that. So, but on the game itself tonight, this was a big win. There was a podcast I listened to, and I'm going to tweet at the guy so you know who it is. They gave out a stat, and they were really – and they're national guys. They were very critical of Brad Underwood. They gave a stat I heard today of what Brad Underwood's record was with Kofi and without Kofi. The problem I have with it that was deceiving, because before Kofi got there, Illinois was not what Illinois is. And so they were trying to make the comment that he's not that good of a coach and he doesn't have any quality wins without Kofi. Well, he silenced that part tonight. So, you know, kudos, Coach Underwood. I think that's 101 wins under his resume. And again, it was done on the national stage at one of the best arenas in all of basketball.
And I was worried he might have hurt himself when they stopped him when he got semi-tackled, so he wouldn't go after referee. We couldn't quite see on TV what happened there. You just saw Underwood go down, and I was thinking, down goes Frazier. So thankfully there was no injury on that little slip down. Let's shift gears a little bit, because one of the things about IlliniGuys.com, of course, we have Mike Farrell, who's the godfather of college recruiting, who obviously, you know, had long-term relationship, friendship with Brad. And obviously Ked knows, you know, as well, because these two have been around the college sports scene for decades. Brad, are you hearing anything about any transfer quarterbacks that might be interested in Illinois? I'm not certain if you can name any names, but have you heard anything? And would any of them, now I think this is totally random, but would any of them maybe have a relation somewhere on the Illini football program?
Big brother. Yeah. It sounds like a big brother is a possibility, from NC State. The Leary kid is the best quarterback in the portal. He fits really what they want to do. And Barry Leonard would love having him there. And it would give, they really like, is it Devin and Donovan, right? You know, yep, so they Devin. Really like them. They like Donovan. But, you know, he's still going to be a redshirt freshman. So
yep.
You're putting a lot on a kid like him. Give him another year and he grows, gets to play with his brother. What a deal. And, you know, that's one piece they're working on. They're also working on some serious putting together some NIL packages to maybe find something to get persuade a couple of defensive linemen to stick around too. So you get that done and suddenly we're cooking with gas in football too.
Without a doubt. I'll tell you what better guy to learn under your brother? You know, if you could pull a guy like that and, you know, and even if his brother's playing, there's going to be no animosity because he's about a year away and he's a game changer. He is what Terrence Shannon would be to the football program, because he could be that, like Brad said, he's obviously the number one quarterback in the transfer portal. And for the people out there who think there's no interest, don't kid yourself. Brad and I don't make comments unless we know there's some truth to it. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
I'm sorry. And Mike.
I'm here to make the comments with no clue. That's my job. The other one last thing is, and I wanted to go over this because this news broke during the game. Wasn't something that I was paying attention to. But with a variety of people who are going and looking at the situation up in Wisconsin, you know, we find out that Jim Leonard, the longtime defensive coordinator who was the interim head coach who was going to work under Coach Fickell, I'm not certain what happened. Whether he went back to coach and said, hey, I don't know that I should be the right guy for the job. Or if Coach Fickell came to, you know, to Coach Leonard and said, hey, you know, I've really thought about this. And, you know, I don't know if you're the right guy that I want running my defense, but Jim Leonard is going to leave. And you're talking about one of the top defensive coordinators in the country and one of the top guys in the Big Ten. Now, Illinois has arguably maybe the best defensive coordinator in the Big Ten. But Brad, any idea? I know this is pure speculation, but any idea on the ripple effects that this could have, especially with Bielma's relationships Coach Leonard?
Well, here's the thing. I think from a recruiting standpoint, there were a few kids that had already decommitted and that they were trying to get back in with Coach Leonard sticking around. And I think that was where Fickell thought that he could keep him. But they run a different defensive style, Cincinnati and Wisconsin, so it's not the same. So I think he's going to find a good home. I think he already has a home. I think it's just going to be a matter of time before it's announced. And I would say he's going to end up being a, you know, being a defensive coordinator, and going to have a pretty good talent to work with, and we'll see what happens. Just, you know, not in the Big Ten.
Yeah, well, we know Alabama needs a good defensive coordinator, and it seems anybody who's ever coordinated a defense is getting mentioned with that. So who knows there? Ted, did you have any thoughts? I know you again, I'm catching you by surprise here, but did you have any thoughts on Coach Leonard?
Yeah, I know. Right now, it's a great thing that that Ryan Walters is still there. And you know what people are holding on to, but there was a lot of talk out there from a lot of national people behind the scenes that if Ryan left, Leonard was going to be that guy who's going to replace him at Illinois. So, from the looks of things, I mean, right now I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it looks pretty positive that Coach Walters may stick around, which is great because getting him to stick around a third year, I mean, that's amazing. It really is. And I have to give kudos to Josh Whitman again because he's trying to keep them around. So I think that's positive. And it is tough when you come into a situation. Most guys want their own staff. And, a lot of guys don't want to take guys that are left over. And, I was a big Ron Smith fan as an offensive coordinator. I thought he was very creative, but that's not the route that Brett Bielema wanted. So I'm not surprised by any of this. They want their own guys. They have to have guys. Coaches want guys that they can trust and that they can believe in and that they're going to run what they want. And everybody wants a system, especially in football. So I definitely get that.
And one final note here, just as Brad thinks he's done, he's not. We're just getting word Wisconsin handed Maryland their first loss of the season. So the Badgers win 64-59 over Maryland up in Madison. So, folks, as Brad said earlier, Illinois might be favored, but there's absolutely no easy games in the Big Ten. Any final thoughts, Brad, on that on Wisconsin giving Maryland hell up in Madison?
This is like my fifth final thoughts.
I know.
So it doesn't surprise me. I mean, this is what happens. You go on the road in the Big Ten. Maryland, I think, is good. Also, I think you get excited when you're playing those home games. Things come out. Illinois, I thought in the first half, was terrible against Maryland. And that's what you so then you lose. And, that happens. And it's hard to win on the road in the Big Ten. That's why what Underwood has done is so impressive, his road wins. And so – I think that was just that almost hard to – it's not surprising at all. Not hard to believe that they would lose that one. So you get these two Big Ten – there are going to be a lot of one-on-one teams after these opening two Big Ten games. So, that doesn't surprise me.
Well, my last final thought, I'm not surprised either, and I think the worst loss was Michigan State losing a home to Northwestern. That's a bad loss because if you're going to be a title contender, that can't happen, number one. And with Indiana losing on the road, it puts Illinois right back in the hunt to where they were. Purdue is still on top. But, I mean, now Illinois, they got a break. They dodged the bullet. And they could have won, and they didn't. Now they have to make sure they don't have any slip-ups, and you cannot lose at home. Beat the team you're supposed to beat.
Yep. And, of course, one last thing as we close here. We also tell you, you want to find out about stuff. IlliniGuys.com is where to be. If you also want to listen like during a game or something, you will see Sturdy tweet at Sturdy32. And so he's out there and you definitely want to be looking at that. Additionally, and I'm blanking, so I got to get to take a look at it at Ed. KED Prince 4 is Kedrick Prince's Twitter feeds. And if you want a lot of great information, that's those two Twitter feeds are, of course, probably the second best place to be. IlliniGuys.com subscription back in the message board and back in the game room where there's a paywall. They can tell you some things that maybe we can't say publicly because nobody will be attributed to the quotes. And you get all the information there. And of course, again, you can find me at Mike Kegley, M-I-K-E-C-A-G-L-E-Y. So if you follow us on Twitter, you get an awful lot of information as well. And the best way is IlliniGuys.com. So we will, of course, Saturday we'll be back with our show that will be after the Penn State game. And that, of course, we'll hope will be a victory for the Illini. We'll also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular will be out for this weekend. So listen for it on Friday or Saturday on a station near you. And this is all we have at this time. So for Brad Sturdy and for Kedrick Prince, this is Mike Kegley saying go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.